home. If we don't continually to hear him directing us every step that we take, we might end up at the wrong place. So we really need to hear from the Lord. We need a word from him. And I'm sure that if we read the word of God, it is from the Lord. That is the word. And our topic for today is what all of the children of God is seeking after, that I might know him. It is imperative that we know Christ. And if we don't know him, then we don't know how to operate up under him. And before I go into the word, I'm just so thankful to the Lord for his greatness and for he'll answer your prayer if you pray sincerely from your heart. And it's, they say, the choir sang the song, Angels. What did the choir just say? Okay. Angels. It said about the angels. Well, hear the angels' voices, and as they were singing, and the music that you play, young men, really, really anointing. And if we can hear the melody that comes out of the music that we sing. And while they were singing and I had been praying from home, and while they were singing and I had my eyes closed, and they were singing about the angels, and I literally saw the whole valley filled with angels. Bible say angels fold their wings. Their wings redeem men sing. And if you can come into the house of God, it's from time to time you need to see the manifestation of the power of God for yourselves. It comes through you. The person beside you may never see it. But it's so important that from time to time when you come into the house of God, that you feel, not only feel his presence, but in the spiritual realm, you can see his presence. Hallelujah. You can see that he's right with you. He's here to do us good. He's in the building. I know we brought him with us, but there is a supernatural anointing that comes when we get into the supernatural spirit of God, and they fill the space. And I'm so thankful this morning that we have eyes that we can see above the natural things of life. Oh, God is good this morning. That I might know him. It's a personal thing. That I might know him. Even though Paul was speaking at this time, Paul had a determination. He was determined that he was going to know his God before he left this world. And he wrote in the third chapter of Philippians. That part is not going to be on the screen. But he said, finally, he was warning the Judaizers at that day. He said, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me indeed is not grievous. Every Sunday, everywhere you go, TV, TBN, the church channel, everywhere, if you're a spiritual person, you turn it on, you're going to hear the same thing. The same words everywhere the preachers preach when they come into the building. Everywhere you go, you're going to hear the same thing. And Paul said it in the scripture. He said, to write to you again the same thing is not grievous to me, but it's safe for you. The message comes that we can continue to encourage you to make sure that you know your God. Make sure you know the God that you are following. Make sure you know the voice that is speaking to you is the God that rule and reign in the universe. It is important that you know your God. Hallelujah. In the 10th and 11th verse of the said chapter, Paul said, that I may know him. Paul's life was very prominent before he came to know Jesus. He did what he did. He, according to his knowledge, he did it right. He loved God, but he didn't know Jesus. And so he persecuted the people that lived for Jesus, as many of us are being persecuted today in many different shapes and forms. Hallelujah. We are being persecuted. If you don't know you're being persecuted, then you're going to fall for what's going on. You're going to complain and you're going to worry. You're not going to know that it's a spiritual thing. And it's a good thing. But if you're not being fought by the enemy, then you don't know whether you're going where you're supposed to be going. But if you're fought by the enemy, you should stand up and rejoice, like Paul said. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. They did it to all those in the days of old. They suffered, but they knew their God. They knew their God. There are many gods in the world today, in people. All kinds of God walking beside you, sitting beside you. Hallelujah. Everywhere you go, there's a God. The Christian's object, the believer's object, is to desire for fellowship in the resurrection power. That is of the utmost importance. You see, the resurrection is not behind us. The resurrection is before us. And that's where we're all working to be in the resurrection. Now, Paul wrote this thousands of years ago. He said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, that if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Those are the two verses that we're going to talk about today. Two verses. Paul had four desires in the beginning of this chapter. Paul was a prominent man. He was wealthy. He had everything he needed. But when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, he had a paradigm shift, a 180 degree turn, totality of what he was before that moment, and after that moment, he was a totally, completely different man. All of his desires were different. All of his understanding was different. He didn't bring anything that he knew before. He didn't bring anything that he knew before into the aftermath of his visitation with Jesus. So after writing two chapters in the Philippians, he said that I need to know him. In the beginning of the chapter, he said, I have some desires. I have some objects. I have some things that I have to put in order. He said, the first thing that I need to do is to win him. I want to win this person that captured me on the road to Damascus. I need to win him. He wanted to win him as when people are in contests and running races. He wanted that prize that he won to be Jesus. Then he said, after I win him, I want to be found in him. I don't want anything that I had before. None of it. I don't want my understanding. I don't want my knowledge. I don't want the lessons that I learned at the feet of Gamaliel. I don't want any of those things. I want to be found in him. You see, he understood that there he must appear before God. He understood that he must have the righteousness provided for us in Jesus Christ. You see, just getting saved and sanctified and Holy Ghost filled is good. That's the best thing that could happen to anybody. That's the best road to walk on. But to get on this road and have understanding in whom you believe. To understand who he is and what he's about. To understand the journey that you're about to undertake is more than a talk. It's more than a shout. It's more than a song. It's more than coming to church. Paul says, I gotta win him. I gotta first win him. Because I know now I'm on a journey and I'm in a race. And I'm not running by myself. There's a whole lot of things running beside me and running around me and running over me and running behind me. But I got something I got to win. I have a goal. I have an understanding. There is one thing on this road that I must win, and that's Jesus. If I don't win him, I'm still lost. I'm on the road, but I'm still lost. I'm on the road, but I don't have understanding. I'm on the road, I just might be following the wrong person. Holy Ghost. The third thing he says is, after I win him, and after I am found in him, understanding that I have to stand before this God, now I want to know him. When Mary and Joseph were married, the Bible says, and he knew her not until Jesus was born. He was married to her, but he had no intimate relationship with her. Hallelujah. Even though that she was already his wife, he didn't know her. He wasn't intimate with her. Getting on this road don't make you intimate with Jesus. You gotta go into him. You gotta be found in him. If you don't go with him, you will never know him. Mary said, how? How can this happen to me? I don't know a man. I don't know a man, so I can't have a child. She know in order to have a child, somebody have to go into her. Something have to go into her. So it can't happen because nobody is going into me. And if we, says the bird, have not gone into Jesus and be found in him, we don't know him. He says that I might know him. I might know him. He said, in order my knowledge of him, if I know him, then I can believe him. If I know him, then I can believe him. I will have experimental knowledge of him. I would have experienced him. Experience is a very important when people want to hire people for a job that they need to work with right now. They say you need to have some experience. You need to know something about this field because we need somebody to do it real quick. We need somebody. I don't want to train anybody. I want a person that already knows the ropes. He not only wanted to be sanctified, he wanted to be justified. Because being sanctified by him and not justified by him, he won't give you his Holy Spirit. Woo. He not only wanted to be sanctified, he wanted to be justified. If God don't justify, Your sanctification, which these, talking about the one you sanctify yourself. You make up in your mind, I'm going to change my ways. I'm going to get forgiveness of what I did. And if you don't get forgiveness of the sins that you have committed that you know you did, he will not remove the one you was born with. You'll never get justified. Because when he justifies you, now he sanctifies you. Take out the Adamic nature. Now you can walk holy. Now you begin to get in a relationship with him. Now you are beginning to get intimate with him. Then you need to go into him every day. Let him work you over every day. Hallelujah. Then you'll understand what he feels like. You'll understand what he sounds like. You will know what he looks like because you're going into him every day. This thing is a job. We got a job to do in order to get to God's heaven. We're not just going to go on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas. Yes, you must fight. If you're going to win, Brother Bennett, you got to fight. You got to fight these other gods. These other gods that try to infiltrate your life. The gods of worry and the gods of complaint and the gods of things and stuff. If he ain't in you, you'll get to do it with the stuff. You'll want the stuff all the time. You'll be materialistic all the time. You'll worry all the time because he ain't in you. Speak, Lord. Hallelujah. They're still up there. And they're there for a purpose. Because he said, if you don't worship me, I got somebody worshiping me 24/7, 365 days a year. The angels walk around God day and night saying, holy, holy, holy. He don't mind if you don't open your mouth. He got the praise. You need him. He got his glory going on. You need it. He got his worshipers. You need it. That's why we don't fight with nobody. You worship, you praise, you get in him, you learn him, you know him, you win him for yourself. It ain't for your husband, your wife, your children. You know him for yourself and not for another. The last thing he wanted to do of the fourth one says that I might be conformable unto him. You see, we are then made to his death when we die to sin, as Christ died for sin. When we are crucified with Christ and the world is crucified to us. When we are crucified to Christ and everything in this world is crucified to us. That's what Paul says. He said in the verse up here, he said, but what things, the seventh verse, but what things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ. It wasn't for his neighbors nor his friends. He said, I count everything loss for Christ. Yet doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency, of the knowledge. God, knowledge is beautiful. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. God, knowledge is beautiful. You can walk beautiful when you know about your God. You can be like Sister Wilkinson. Cut my foot off, it's all right. Hallelujah. Take the other one off. I know my God. Glory. Woo. What you holding on? What you holding on? We don't need it. For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. He letting them know, I don't have any of that anymore. I don't care if they said I spoke these languages. I don't care I was at the foot of Gamaliel. I don't care about all my accolades and all my positions. All I know, to me, I don't have them no more. He said, y'all can talk about them. Talk about who I was, but it don't matter to me. To me, I don't have none of it. Because I don't need it. He said, I suffer the loss of all things and do count them but dung. What is dung? Dung is the stuff that go in the toilet and you flush it away. Don't need it. Dung is the dead cells that you bait off and you don't want to get them out the tub. You see how the tub look when you finish baiting? You don't want that back on you. You let the thing open and you send it out. You don't keep any of those things. So he said, all my accolades, all my position, all my knowledge, to me, it's dung, and I let it go because I'm getting the excellent knowledge of my God in Jesus Christ. And to be found in Him, not having my own righteousness. I want to be found in Him. I don't want to do my own thing. I don't want to say my own words. I don't want to know nothing. I don't want my own righteousness. He said, I want the righteousness of Jesus Christ. What righteousness are we wondering, walking under? He said, which is of the law? The law say, you kill my cat, I kill your dog. Under these things, under the day is, I get it, don't worry. But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is by faith. He said, I know concerning the resurrection. He said, I know there's going to be a resurrection. But see, I don't just know that. I know there are two resurrections. He said there are going to be two. He said, I get the understanding there are two resurrections. So I want to be found in the resurrection that will lift me up out of the grave and take me home with God. Because there's a resurrection of the unjust also. Everybody going to be resurrected. Everybody but a bus going to be resurrection. Saints and sinners alike. But he said, I want to be found in his righteousness so that when the resurrection of the righteous rise, I'll rise with him. So we're not worried because everybody going to rise. But which one are you going to be in? Which resurrection are you going to be in? If you don't know him, if you've not won him, if you're not found in him, if you're not made conformable to him, you're going to be in the second one. Believe it or not, you're going to be in the second one. But he was saying, he was adamant about this thing, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. Oh God, we do a little Selah for you to think, which one I am in right now should he call me this moment? Which one I'm going to rise up in? Am I going to come in the first resurrection? Do I really know my God? Do we really know our God? Are we really intimate into our God? Huh? Just going to give you a few examples, and we're going to be out of here. See what Paul said? I don't feel bad to tell you the same thing over and over again. When I was raising 14 children, I told them everything, every day, all day, every day, over and over and over again. Even when I whipped them, I was saying the same thing. Over and over again. I never got tired of saying it. Because I told them, I'm going to get you before you get me. Yes. How quickly we forget. How quickly when the troubles come, we pick up the natural God. We keep him on the shelf, you know, while we're in good times and while we're in church. While we're having church. While we're singing and shouting, we got the real God. We get home and a problem come. Well, I don't know what going to do. What's going to happen? I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, you know it's the truth. We got it all together in the building. It ain't about it here. It's about a permanent, intimate relationship with God every day of your life. You know how newlyweds are? Oh my God. They don't get tired of nothing. On the moon, off the moon, down the street, everywhere. And don't talk about the young people today. They're intimate with anything and everybody. The pastor just preached the other thing. Man is like a grasshopper. They hop from woman to woman, from yard to yard, from house to house, from car to car. They're grasshoppers. They hop everywhere. God said, I ask you today, do you know me? Do you really, Sister Bird, know your God? Every day, in every situation, no matter what it is, you have no fear, no worry, no concern. That's when you know your God, when trouble comes. I'm not talking about moaning and groaning, oh, please help me, God. He didn't tell you to do that. He said, trust me. Have confidence in my word. Go to the manual. See what it said about me and that situation. He said, don't mumble, grumble, and complain. He said, know me, Brother Copeland. Know me in the good times, in the bad times, when it's raining, when the sun is shining, when you got and don't got. When people treat you good, when they treat you bad, know me. It takes time, Sister Desiree, to notice God. It takes study and study and study and study some more, and then go back and study again to know him, to get intimate with him. But you don't go in the first time. You don't get a full entry the first time. That's the way life is too. God made the body strange. You don't get into the whole thing one time. Take another time and another time and another time. Then you're conformable to one another. Into God. And then how many times you've been into one another. The self stuff is more prevalent to us than the spiritual stuff. This spiritual thing is what Paul talking about today. I gotta know him. I gotta know him. I gotta know him. I gotta know him. So I gotta keep going in, keep going in, keep going in until we are fused together. And it's a way of life. We have the Old Testament oars. You see, in 1 Kings chapter 18, I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to do the stories. 1 Kings chapter 18, when you read it, it's verses 17 through 41. You see, if you don't study these people, you think they just did that and they died, Brother Prager? They just died and left it. That can't be worked no more. It still works. What he did for others, he will do for us. What that brother name? Elijah. Elijah knew his God. Elijah knew his God. He wasn't afraid to make fun of the devil. He made fun of the devil, Sister Joan. He wasn't afraid of all those people that Baal had. It was only how many of him? 50? How many of the other people was? Okay, and then how many was Elijah? 350 enemies. One man with God. One man with God. He was not afraid to jeer those 350 prophets of Baal. He said, hey, let's have a contest. One man against 350. Let's have a contest. The God that answered by fire, that's the God. He didn't have no doubt. He didn't have no fear. He didn't say, oh God, please answer me. He didn't say, I wonder if I said it's going to work. He jeered them. Hey, call your God. He probably sleeping. Call him a little louder. Oh, he's on a journey, Sister Phyllis. Call him a little bit more. He's sleeping. Wake him up. He was not afraid to jeer the enemy in all of what they had. Because he knew his God. He was conformable to his God. He has won his God. And he was able. And you know what again? He knew the time that his God will show up. He gave them the front part of the day. Because he knew that he'd meet his God in the latter part of the day. If you don't know what time you and your God meet, because you don't go meet him on a specific time, you might miss him. You see, that's why I say you got to go into him often so that when time to meet him, he'll be there. He said, I've given you all day long. Now your God is something wrong with your God. He said, let's fix this thing back up. Straighten up the altar. Put it back. He lined it up with the 12 tribes of Israel. He set it in order. You see, in order to know your God, you got to set your life in order. You got to set your priorities in order. You got to put your mind in order. You got to keep your mouth in order. You got to keep your eyes in order. You got to keep everything in order. You got to make sure that when you say, come on, God, he said, here I am. He said, what you need? All he did is line it up and said, okay, God, show this God that there is a God that rules in Israel. And the Bible said, soon as he said that, the fire came down. It licked up the sacrifice. It licked up the water. And it licked up everything off the altar. Hallelujah. And when those men saw it, he said, yes, Elijah, God is the God. But God didn't spare him. He took them all out. Wasn't afraid. Moses wasn't afraid. Moses knew his God. Hebrews 11:24-25. He knew his God. He knew his God face to face. And when he came down, the light of God shined on his face so well. Can people see God shining through our faces? We are so close to him till we become like him. We are so close to him. Hallelujah! That the very smile on your face make a person's eyes come light it up, because they see the smile of God in your face. Moses knew his God. We have little David. David was a little boy, and he learned his God in the field. And when it was time for him to do the big work, Sister Alexis, he wasn't afraid. All the men, all the warriors was afraid. Little David, hallelujah, who was able to get rid of the bear and the lion. What's your bear and what's your lion? What bear, what lion is tormenting you today? He used that as collaterals. David used that as collaterals when he went to the battle. He said, hey, who is that man out there bothering with God's people? Are you God's people? Do you know your God? He said, that I might know him. David said, who is that talking to God's people that way? Who do we have backing us up when the enemy come in like a flood? Who's to back us up? Hallelujah! Oh, glory be to God. David knew his God, and he worked wonders. He learned about his God in the field. And when the time came to fight the giant, he faced him. Being a little boy. Hallelujah. He faced that giant. He didn't run and turn his back. What is the giant in your life today? Who's torturing you? What's torturing you? Are you able to jeer the enemy? Say, get off of me. And you ain't got to scream and holler because you know your God. You got confidence in your God. David say, oh, y'all stay back there and fight. Y'all afraid. I'll fight this giant. He spoke out over all that army. He said, I'll fight the giant. Brother say, you just showing off. Go back home to your field. Hey, he said, what you doing? You sending me home and you shaking in your boots? I don't have time for your fearful foolishness. You stand back there telling me to go home, and ain't none of y'all out there for all these days will face this giant. You don't tell me what to do. I'm going to face this giant because I know my God. I tried my God. A bear came. I tore him up. A lion came, taking my sheep, and I destroyed all of them. And this man is no more to me than a bear and a sheep. And a lion, it doesn't matter his size. He don't look like nothing to me, because my God is bigger than anything. My God is bigger. My God is bigger than anything. Don't be afraid to throw your God up in front of anybody. If you're a living rock, if you know him, use him. Throw him up and clench. Throw him out there in front of your sickness. Throw him out there in front of your conditions. Throw him out there in front of your troubles. And stand behind him. After David cleared down all those big talkers who didn't have nothing behind them but fear, after he got them out of his way, he said, now I'm going to fight. You're satisfied? I'm going to fight. You're not going to stop me from fighting. You're giant. I'm going to fight him. I'm going to kill him. I'm going to take off his head. I'm going to give his body to the bird. Bannister, they gave him some stuff. They gave David some stuff. We got people giving us all kind of stuff, and it's killing us. All the stuff we take it, and it's killing us. They gave David the material stuff. They put a stump on his front. They gave him a sword. They dressed him up in a material mess. David didn't feel no Holy Ghost in that. He didn't feel the power of God in that. He didn't feel no what what you call it? He didn't feel no confidence. He said, my God, what's this they put on me? This don't fit me. This don't fit me. If I go out there with just that, a giant gonna kill me. If I wear this,
is it all?
If I wear this stuff that this old fearful, scary, no backbone army gave me, I'm gonna die. Die. Don't take nothing from man. You don't know what that is they're giving you. You don't know what it's going to do to your body. You don't know what it's going to do to your mind. You don't know if it's going to kill you or make you well. Take it off. Let it go. Do like Paul say, count it but dung. Take it off, take it off, take it off. He said, take it off, take it off. I didn't have no sword with that bear. I didn't have nothing with that bear. All I had is but hands of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost got in my hands. The Holy Ghost got in my spirit. The Spirit of God gave me strength. And I tore the pieces. And I got my lamb. Then they got a little fresh. They thought they could come at me. And I ripped them in shreds. What devil have you ripped up lately? You ripped them up lately? Or he's still on your back? He's still in your car. He's still in your business. He's still in your house. He said, okay. He took this little sling and the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost took his five smooth stones. You see, he took five stones. He was going to kill one man, but he had four more for anybody else who wanted to take him on. He always got backup. What's your backup? You got any backup? You know what your backup is? Your backup is when the enemy comes and he starts acting the fool on you. Your backup is hallelujah, glory, glory, thank you, Jesus. You don't have nothing on me. You can't do nothing with me. He took that thing. He said, in the name of the Father, name of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He didn't care what happened after he let it go. His job was to wheel it. And he wheeled it. He wheeled it. And he turned it loose in the name of Jesus. And the angel, those that sitting up there waiting to do something for you. Hallelujah. Looking down on you. Up there ready to do what you need to do. He just grabbed it in his hand. Flew over. Wham! Put it right in the only spot that was open. David couldn't do that if he tried. He was only an instrument, Brother Pat. Only an instrument. The man fell dead. He didn't need the sword of the people in the army. He went and got his own sword. Because he was dead, he couldn't bother them no more. He took and stood up and chopped his head off and took it. Then they all got happy. Then they got jealous and they went crazy. People will get jealous when you do right. When you're victorious and you back up the enemy and you speak with positive, they get jealous and get mad. Who are they? Think they know it. They think they got it. But you don't care. You got victory. You don't care what they're saying out of the act. You got the victory. Let them stay there and talk until they talk, until they talk, and you keep shouting. My time up. Hallelujah. I'm gonna pick up a couple of the this one here. And I'm doing one for the old New Testament. These were the Old Testament, they knew their God. The New Testament knew their Jesus. They knew their Jesus in God. And this young lady name was Ruth. Ruth didn't know Naomi's God. She didn't know Naomi's God. But she knew and saw the example of Naomi.
and how she walked, how she talked, how she trusted God, how she was fervent. And she looked at that young lady when all the people died, her husband and everybody died. You know, say, I don't have no more children. Go back home to your family. Go back home to your God. And I'm going to my God, capital G. You go back to your G, small G God. And maybe you'll find you another husband. Oprah couldn't take it no more. She went home. How many Oprahs in the building? I'm not talking about Oprah Winfrey on the TV. How many Oprahs that give up to go back to where you come from and be afraid to stand for your God? When Oprah left, Ruth say, Naomi, I ain't going nowhere. I don't know much about your God. But let me tell you something that's in my heart. Where you go, I'm going to. Where you die, I'm going to die too. And whoever that God that you're serving is, I'm going to serve that God. So don't tell me to go nowhere. Where y'all going? Anybody running to back to their gods when the God is already stationary, already in place? By her having confidence in Naomi's God, God used her faith, her trust, her confidence, her belief in Naomi's God, and say, I'm going to bring my son through this lady. Brought Jesus through this lady who didn't even know about the God of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. She didn't know nothing about it, but she got the victory. She got deliverance. She got everything she needs. Got her a rich husband. A rich husband. Have to know a lot. If you don't know a lot, follow somebody that know a lot. You don't know a lot, you just tried. Stop sitting down by yourself. You don't know what that person know. They have tried it, tested it, proven it, and it's real. Follow somebody that know their God. And tell them, I ain't gonna turn you loose. I ain't turning you loose. You ain't gonna get rid of me.
Come on.
Cause I see you got something I need.
Yes.
You got something I want.
Yes.
You got victory.
Yes. Woo. Glory to God. Yes.
Stop hanging out.
Come on now. Don't you.
Get bold. Don't worry about it, Brother Pagan. If they got it right, they ain't going nowhere but to heaven. They ain't going nowhere but to heaven. So why you don't want to follow them? Follow them. Follow them all the way to heaven. That's where you say you're trying to go. And if you don't know the road, follow somebody that's going on the road. Then you won't have to work so hard. You just follow. Follow, follow. I will follow Jesus anywhere, everywhere. I'll follow on. Know your God? Do you know your God? Do you really know your God? If you know your God, you won't be wishy-washy. You won't be in and out, up and down, worrying and complaining and mumbling and grumbling. You'll be joyful. Paul said, rejoice! And again I say rejoice! Because it is well! It's good! John said, John that came before Jesus. See, John knew his God before he came out the womb. When God put in Mary's heart to go down to Elizabeth, who was 6 months pregnant, and when Jesus got in John's presence, he wasn't even this. We all old as crows. We got to start, sister, to learn our God. You got to know Him. Ain't no need of going on and acting like you know Him and you don't know Him. We want to know Him. John wasn't born. Jesus was only 3 months in the womb. And when the two met, brother, John knew his God in the womb. When they intermitted together, when they went into one another in the womb, old Elizabeth said, "Whoa." Right there, that Holy Ghost in the belly told Elizabeth, "This is Mary, the mother of my son, and I gotta fix up John in the womb." So they knew one another in the womb. They infused in that womb, and the Holy Ghost came upon Mary, came upon Jesus, came upon Elizabeth, and came upon John. They knew their God in the womb. We've been out of the womb a long time. We've been in front of Jesus a long time. Let Him have His way with you. Let Him have His way with you. Throw your hands down and stand up and let Him have His way with you. He just want to get inside of you so He can lead your life. Stephen knew his God so well that he wasn't afraid to talk against those people who were saying things wasn't right. And when they took him out and got upset, because he was, see, people get upset when you talk right. But you got to get to the place that it don't bother you. Give them a big smile. Say, "I love you anyhow." Hallelujah. You don't have to get upset. You know what I'm saying? She said this to me. He said, "Forgot it." Just say, "Hallelujah. It is well. I don't care. I love you anyhow. It's okay." When we get to getting hit by somebody, we complain, we fuss, we feud, we fight. "Well, she didn't do this, he didn't do that, she said this. I don't know what they talk about, who they think is. I'm leaving this church, I'm getting out of here." I'm getting out of here. But Jesus said, "I'm here." Stephen, they took the man out of the city, Sister Rose. And they stoned the man for truth. And Paul was there. The same Paul said, "That I might know him." Because Paul knew he didn't know him. Paul knew that he allowed Stephen to be stoned to death for truth. He held the comments of those people that stoned that brother to death. But he saw, he never forgot. He never forgot what he saw and what happened. He didn't forget, brother. Brother Fountain, he didn't forget. When he got it right, he said, "I wasted the church of God. I allowed him to stone that man to death. Wasted it." But Stephen was all right. Stephen was full of the Holy Ghost. Stephen, the Bible says, Stephen was stoned to death, calling on his God. And he said, "Father," you see, like I saw those angels up there, he saw Jesus standing up on the right hand of the Father. And he said, "Father, forgive them. Don't lay the sin to their charge, but they don't know what they're doing." And the Bible says he fell asleep calling on his God. Don't let the Goliaths, don't get the sheep and the bears, don't let anybody turn you around. Know your God. And if you don't know your God today, he is saying, "You can know me today. I am available that you can receive me today." Brother Jones talk about behind the veil. You gotta go behind the veil sometime. Get in your bathroom, close your door, and you don't want anybody to see how you cry and snot and moan. Get on back there and say, "Jesus, help me, Lord. Save me, God. Fill me, your spirit, God, that I might know you. I want to know you. When I come out, I want everybody to know that I'm a changed child of God. I'm a new
Christian in Christ Jesus.
My walk is new, my talk is new, my everything is new, because I went behind the veil. Don't let nothing get you down, Sister Rose Curtis. Don't let no devil in hell say nothing to your body, because you know your God. You take your sling and you twirl it in the name of Jesus. You twirl it at anything come your way. Anybody come your way. Twirl it, Brother Mark. Twirl that stone. Twirl this word of God and hit him in the head. Sister Arlene, twirl this book. Put it on the head of the devil and say, I got you. I got you. Don't let him go until he leave you alone. God bless you. The altar is open for anybody that want to know their God. You got to know him. If you don't know him, you're going to be lost. You're not going to be victorious. You're not going to have a smile. You're not going to be joyful. You'll sit like you